Ask the Podcast Coach for August 15th, 2015.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Oh, there it is. It's Saturday. I'm confused because it still says off air on my side, but it is time for Ask the Podcast Coach. It is Saturday morning. This is where you can get your podcast questions answered live. I am Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting.com, streaming live here from PodCamp Pittsburgh at the lovely Point Park University. I'm over in the corner by the printer, and we have two awesome co-hosts today. As always, the one, the only, Jim Cullison from TheAverageGuy.tv. Jim, how's it going?
Greetings, Dave. A little bit of a challenge just getting everything rolling this morning with you remote. We're bringing Mike in, all the pieces that have to play into it. But I think we're good. I think calls are going to work. I think we're okay.
Yeah. And, of course, everybody's favorite podcast help desk guy, the one, the only, Mike Dell. Mike, buddy, how's it going?
Pretty good. It's kind of interesting seeing the behind the scenes here. And kind of ugly, but it works.
It works. That's the beautiful thing. Yeah, it's one of those things about PodCamp Pittsburgh. I was going to go, then I wasn't going to go, then I was going to go, then I wasn't going to go. And as soon as the coin flipped back to I'm going to go, I told Jim, all right, you get to run the show this week. So
I told Mike, let's not make a habit of this. I like podcasting with you. I'm not sure I want to run the show every single week. So
yeah, I think I have one more in September where I'm keynoting at PodCamp Mid-Atlantic over in Jersey, which will be fun. So, well,
the good news is we can do this, right? I mean, it works. We've got it down now where we can, between you and I, we can kind of flip back and forth and kind of make this work. So I'm pretty comfortable with it now, and that just means when you're gone, we don't have to take a week off. So, and Mike, thanks for saying yes when I asked you to come on today, by the way.
Yeah, no problem. I enjoy it. And like I said, I don't get to live podcast very often. So.
Yeah, but you get to do the live radio, which is fun.
Yeah, it's a whole different thing, but yeah.
Yeah. What time is your radio shift usually? What time are you on?
I have to be there at 4:30 in the morning.
Oh, that just makes – that's painful just to hear.
Well, 10 in the morning is when the show is over. The show starts officially at, I think, 5:30. We usually just play music until the 6 o'clock news break.
Got it. And then you jump in, and so basically from 4:30 to whenever you go on is, I'm assuming, show prep.
Yeah. Well, it's either that or just watching the local news stuff down.
Got it. Have you ever gone on where you're kind of freaking out because you're not sure what you're going to talk about, or you have a pretty good idea? Or
I always have a big pile of stuff, and usually don't get to it all.
Something to go to. Well, that's cool. Awesome.
Well, Dave, let me remind folks if they want to call in, they can do that for us. Although it would help if I turned the volume up on the call-in thing, right? That's the challenge. So if they want to call in, get it done. 347-850-8007. If you want to talk to Smiling Dave Jackson. did I get that right? Is it Smiling?
No, that'll work. I mean, Smiling host.
It was jamming Dave Jackson.
Please, no. Please let that die. The cool thing is I can see the chat. So, you know, I got the chat on my phone. So.
Now, are you on my chat or are you on your chat?
That's right. I'm not on your chat. Yeah, I need to go over to your – that's right. Yeah,
head over to theaverageguy.tv.
Yeah. I do have it set. If you go to askthepodcastcoach.com/live, it will redirect to your website. So
good.
I set that up just for future reference. So
cool. Yeah, we are live. If you're listening in some other form, if you found us on Mixler or Spreaker or YouTube or Google Plus or any of those things, and you want to join the live chat, head over to The Average Guy, theaverageguy.tv/live. Join us in chat wing. There are a bunch already out there. It looks like most people made their way over, and so join us over there.
It looks like the usual suspects.
Yeah, no, for sure. So, Dave, tell us a little bit about what's going on there in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's I'm going to say there's probably somewhere between 80 and 100 people here. From what I hear, there are more people coming in maybe a little later. And we've got three rooms going with it's Saturday and Sunday. They had like a mixer last night, but it goes 9 to 4. Saturday and Sunday. There are things here, a lot of things here on social media. On like, there's a session on Tweetbox. I don't know if you've ever played with that. Tweetbox, or I'm sorry, tweetjukebox.com. It's a little bit like Edgar, where if you wanted to, it'd be a great Twitter bombing tool, where you can just load tweets and then they go out over and over and over and over. And you just set up the schedule. I think I have mine set to do like one or two tweets. And I usually put in a couple tweets about the current episode, because that's one of the things I do horrible at, is I don't promote enough. So I don't want to go crazy and, you know, send people a tweet every hour, because, you know, there are those people that actually read your tweets, and the same time they see the same thing going over and over and over, that's when you kind of lose them.
They get really angry with you, especially your most dedicated Twitter followers. When they see those same things going, man,
yeah, that's, they'll let you know.
Yeah, they will. And it's this balance, right? Because you're trying to figure out, like, when I schedule mine, I have I use Buffer for it, and I have about 12 hours worth of slots, right, that you throw it in Buffer. And when I do a podcast, I try to put one in each one of those time, not all 12, but I try to, I do it like six or seven of them through the week. And each day of the week, I try to do it in a different time slot, just so that it doesn't, if someone's always checking Twitter, or if they do, you know, if they're on it in the morning or whatever, just so it spreads it out a little bit. And that seems to have helped. I have not gotten as much negative feedback of like the same post about the, you know, about the podcast being out there several times, but they will definitely let you know.
Yeah, the cool thing was, they at the beginning, their kind of opening ceremony or whatever you want to call it, you know, they asked how many people create media, and, you know, a good 3/4 of the room went up, but there's still a lot of people here that are, you know, kind of just sniffing around. It's a free event, so the, you know, people are coming either that or they came in for the coffee. But what was interesting is, this is the 9th year, I think they did the first one in 2006, and they were talking about MySpace, like the things that were happening in 2006, and just how huge that was, and that whole nine yards. So it's been fun. And then you got guys like this that come up. Come on and photobomb me. The one and only Nick Suberling.
Hello, everybody.
Is here, so that's cool. And Crystal's here from Libsyn, so it's always fun when you can hang out with people. And Chris Brogan was here. I got to talk to him for a little bit. But there's a lot of people I don't recognize at all, so that's the part that I'm excited about. So I'll probably be hanging out in the hallway a lot, kind of like what I'm doing now. Just right now I'm hiding behind the printer.
a good place to be. Hey, before we get too far, we've introduced Mike already, but Mike, why don't you give us a quick, the first time on Ask the Podcast Coach, by the way, welcome for that. Tell us a little bit about your, where are you at, how we find you, what you do. I think that's significant to the community, by the way.
Okay, well, I do a podcast on my own called the Podcast Help Desk, and I also work for Blueberry as their lead tech support. So, you know, I figured the subject is good for the work and the podcast. And I just like to, you know, like Dave, I like to help people figure out what's wrong with their podcast, improve things. I'm more a techie, geeky side of things than the content side, as far as, you know, my subject matter, although I've been hitting a lot of the content side lately too. But you can find that over at podcasthelpdesk.com.
So if folks had Blueberry questions, today would be the day to call in.
Be the day
in,
to do it.
Call in. I'll remind you, 347-850-8007 to come in and get that done. Hey, you guys just changed. You guys had a massive rollout of some new stuff during Podcast Movement. From the behind the scenes, how's that going? Are you getting good feedback on it, that kind of stuff? Maybe for the listeners, you can say what you guys did.
Yeah, we announced the fact that we're going to be doing WordPress hosting along with podcast hosting. That's branded as PowerPress Sites. And what that is, it's an add-on. So if you are hosting with Blueberry and then you decide you want to move your WordPress site over, or if you don't have a WordPress site and you want to podcast with WordPress, it's an extra add-on. There's three levels. The first level comes free with any hosting account, and it's, you know, a pretty limited basic template. Looks pretty decent, and it's, you know, WordPress. And it's your, you know, it's not branded with your domain name for the free one. And then there's another level where you get your domain name, you get a choice of a few more templates and a few more features. And then the top tier is actually a dedicated server. And it's, I think, probably one of the least expensive dedicated server WordPress installs out there. And that's a full-blown, you can do multi-site, you can, you know, it's everything. Just like you own the box.
It's the whole shooting match. Dave, we have a caller. Let's go ahead and, Mike, let me jump in real quick.
Yep.
And we do have a caller. So ending, we'll see if this actually works, ending in 7513, you're live with Dave and Jim and Mike. Tell us who you are, your podcast, and what's your question?
Hey, guys, this is Mike Wieger from the 2980 Network. How are you guys?
Doing well, Mike.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I have a quick question in regards to paying for advertising online. I've been kind of playing around with Facebook ads, Twitter ads, and Google ads, and I just ping a little bit here and there, but I want to know if you guys have ever played around with paying for advertisements anywhere and, you know, kind of what works best and what strategies kind of work. Basically, we launched a new podcast called Suit and Scrubs, and it's one that's not really niche-y. It's kind of a comedy relationship podcast for everyone. So I thought that paying for advertisements might work out okay for it just because it is the audience is very general and broad.
The only thing I've ever done in the past is I used Google AdWords, probably 2008-ish, played with that. I definitely, playing with Facebook ads is definitely something I want to play with because I've seen presentations on how insanely niche you can get with picking who sees your ad. I know there's a really cool thing called retargeting, which is if they've been to your site, you put a little bit of code on your site, and so Facebook goes over at your site, and now everywhere they go on Facebook, there's an ad for your site to keep you. I know I've been playing with Freshdesk. It's a ticketing system, and I was somehow must have gone to their Facebook page because now every site I go to, there's a Freshdesk advertisement. So it's definitely something I want to get into. Jim or Mike, either of you guys played with any kind of advertising?
I did some AdWords, you know, probably about the same time you were doing it on another show that's podfaded. And to be honest with you, didn't really get much of a bump out of it. I mainly just go for SEO. Google is your friend.
Mike, we at Gallup, you know, we use AdWords for our stuff, not necessarily for the podcast, but we do some AdWords advertising for some of our product stuff. And in the volumes, that seems to work for us. I mean, we get really good. We do get some good numbers back from AdWords. So that seems to be, and Dave just saw in chat Nick's comment about not having pants on. We dabbled a little bit a ways back when Facebook advertising first came out, when Facebook ads came out. And I had some limited success to that. I think you really got to target. And I think it's like anything with advertising. You need to spend a bunch of money on it to actually make it work. You can't, you know, Facebook started with like $5, right? And you're like, oh, we can do it for $5. Well, $5 doesn't get you much, right? And so I think like anything, you need to kind of make a significant investment and then target your audience correctly. I do know, I'm pretty sure you're on a podcast, I think something like a Home Gadget Geeks or something. If you wanted to pay to advertise for that, I think that would be a great idea, by the way. And you might want to spend a bunch of money to get that done. So if you want to do that, that would be awesome.
Well, that was going to be my question. What's the end goal of your podcast? Like is the goal just to make people laugh? Are you trying to grow your audience to get future sponsors? Like what's the end goal of the actual podcast?
I think as of now, the end goal for Suit and Scrubs is, yes, mainly to get people to laugh, enjoy, kind of have them to have a 30 to 45 minute segment of their week or their biweekly, I guess, to just kind of laugh and relax. That's kind of what we go for. But yeah, in the future, I mean, it's me and my wife. So looking maybe to monetize it far down the future, maybe 6 months to a year from now. Seeing how things go. But I did notice, I did use AdWords Express actually, and it was super easy. So if anyone in the Omaha area actually just has podcast in their Google search term, my network shows up as the top hit. So that was really useful, and it's really affordable. I think I've paid maybe $25 over the past 3 weeks and gotten over 60 to 70 clicks to the site. Whereas Facebook, I noticed, was super expensive. I mean, as soon as people were clicking, that was about $3 to $4 on my end. So I'm glad to hear you guys like AdWords, and maybe I'll play around with a little bit more of the targeting. I think the targeting is probably key. It's just, it's kind of hard to know what to target.
That's the whole key, because it'll be cheap if it's not targeted. And the more you target, that's why Facebook ads are more expensive. I haven't played with either one yet in a long time, so I'm just kind of guessing here. But I just know for a while that was like the hot phrase was, you know, Facebook ads that at the time were cheaper than Google. So I don't know if, you know, there's been kind of a bidding war going on over there, which is kind of good for us. But yeah, and then for me, I'd almost want to make a page for people that come there like, hey, thanks for clicking on the ad. You know, like a little video. Here's what the show's about. Click the button down here to listen. Click the button here to subscribe. Click here to sign up for my newsletter list. So that they have, you know, otherwise they're just going to show up at the site. And if they don't know what's going on, depending on your front page, you know, even if it's a quarter, quarters add up. And I don't want people to go, oh, it's, I don't know, it's a podcast thing. I'd want to make sure they know what to do once they get there, maybe. But that's because I'm cheap and I don't want to waste money. So,
no, that's a good idea. Make sure, I definitely think about doing that.
Yeah. What are you doing right now for promotion?
For promotion, pretty much it started out as a podcast that all of my Facebook community really liked to listen to, because they got really used to me posting about my other show, which is the tech show, strictly Apple focused. But it's very niche and not many people on my Facebook were interested in it. But now this is kind of a more general podcast and it's funny, so they love it. So I've been getting them to try and interact with it as much as possible. It actually boomed way more than my other podcast did. So just getting them to talk about it as much as possible and spread the word. I haven't really done too much else as far as promotion besides just kind of telling people, mentioning it and tweeting about it. And Twitter growth has been great. I've been using Crowdfire to grow my Twitter base. And that grew exponentially in the past like week or two. So that's been helpful. But that's really all I'm doing so far for promotion.
Well, now you have me. What is Crowdfire?
Crowdfire is a app for Twitter and Instagram. I use it for Twitter. And it allows you to the feature I love. First of all, allows you to unfollow people who don't follow you, which is an addition to the feature I use, which is called copy followers. So if you have maybe another person on Twitter who does something like you and you think that their followers would like you, you can go and follow a lot of them in a very quick manner. And you can also, that's the main feature I like. So I go around and I find other kind of communities on Twitter that I think, hey, these people might like my podcast, and I follow them, and you get a ton of follows back from those people. And then you can go in and unfollow all the spam that you ended up accidentally following when you did that. So it's kind of a really, really cool app to grow your Twitter base. I went from 200 followers to almost 1,000 now within the last week and a half to 2 weeks, and without much effort. I mean, it takes maybe 3 minutes every other day to just get on there and do some of that stuff. So it's really cool.
Right.
So Mike talked about, you know, he's on Home Gadget Geeks with me. He's my co-host there. And we talked about that a couple of weeks ago on Home Gadget Geeks. And so I've been trying it for the last 2 weeks. And what I like about it, it's like all these automated Twitter tools without, but you can target it. So it makes it very easy to go into somebody's, you know, somebody else's crowd and find those people who you think may fit your model, right? And so it's, for me, it's not like just a blind copy of all 1,000 people that follow you, Dave Jackson, but I might find some people and it displays their name, their Twitter, how many are following them, but it's that all important bio section that's in there. So you can really nice. Get a good feel for who they are. And so, like, I went in and targeted tech and dad and enthusiast and techie. And so I started looking for those kinds of terms. I felt like those were the ones that would probably be the most apt to follow me back and maybe want to listen to what we're doing. And so it's a target follow more than it is just a blanket follow. That's what I like about it. You know, those ones, like, where you just blanket the whole thing and hope for the best, that feels a little spammy to me. This is more like I can go in and target it.
Yeah, that's my whole thing. It's like, I have 1,000 followers, but do they know my name? Do they, you know what I mean? It's one of those where it is kind of a throw it out there, see what happens. But I like the fact that you can then unfollow people who haven't figured out who you are and go that route.
So that's called Crowdfire?
Crowdfire app. If I think on the web, it's crowdfireapp.com.
Yeah, and then Mike Phillips said it used to be... It says it used to be justunfollow.com.
Oh, okay.
Well, that'd be fun.
Right. I used it back in the day when it was just Unfollow. Actually, then I used it for my old podcast. And then when we launched this new podcast, I went and looked for that. I'm like, I can't find it anywhere. So I did some Googling, and yeah, Crowdfire is, and they've made it a lot better since, if you haven't used it since it was just Unfollow, I think it's actually a lot better.
And of course, the big question, is it free?
It's free for up to 1,000. Is it up to 1,000 or up to maybe only 200?
No,
follows.
I think the free version, I think, is 200. Like, it's 100. And then, but if you're on iPhone, I don't know about Android, the $4.99 app unlocks everything. And so if you just pay $5 for it, it kind of unlocks. That's what I did. It unlocks you to all the Twitter, and there's an Instagram component of this well that we haven't really talked about, but it unlocks you to the Twitter limits at that point. So there are follow and unfollow limits on Twitter on what you can do based on your account and such. But for the $5 to help out the developers, I thought it was a good deal. So I bought that on my iPhone.
Nice.
Yeah, I did too. And using it on the phone is a much better experience, I think, than using it on the actual website.
Mike, I disagree with you on that. I've been a web. I mean, I've liked it on the phone. I think it works well. But, man, I'm so much faster on the web with it than I am on the phone. But it just depends on how you use it.
Right.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm in the Instagram hell at the moment. I signed up for Instagram, and I don't know my password, so I will tell it to resend my password. It doesn't. And so I'm like, well, that's weird. So I'll try to sign up, and it says that username is taken. So I've obviously have an account, but it won't send me my it's yeah, so it's fun. So
I haven't been using Instagram. I need
That's me. I'm like, I'm missing the boat.
I need to use it more. Mike, Twitter for you? Are you dependent on Twitter very much, or just kind of let you? To me, you seem like a guy that just kind of dabble in it a little bit.
Yeah, I don't do a whole lot. I've probably got 1,000 followers or so, and I've got the two different accounts, and I use it a lot for doing tech support, actually.
Yeah,
and I bet you do.
You know, it's because a lot of people will complain about whatever company they're complaining about, and we'll answer them if it's us.
Yeah.
Now, do you also do the opposite? Will you follow like other companies to see if people are complaining about them, so you can kind of go, hey, we're over here. If you,
I look, but leave. I won't hijack.
Yeah.
Mike Weaker, anything else?
Well, no, I was just gonna say thank you, guys. You guys helped me out, and I'm gonna go check out some of those other ways to kind of advertise and get the word out there.
All right, man. Thanks for calling in, and thanks for hosting with me on Home Gadget Geeks.
Love it. All right. Talk to you guys later.
All right. We'll see you.
Bye.
Yeah. Mike is my co-host out there and new to the show. I've had other co-hosts in the past, and I lost both of them to babies. Well, one of them got babies and then the other one, yeah, I know. Oh,
darn babies. You're pregnant. Oh, that's it.
Ah, and then the other one I lost to another show. We spun off another show and put him on that. And so about the time we were doing that, Mike appeared, and he started showing up in the network. He's actually a local Omaha guy, so we don't do it together in studio. He could come over, I guess, if he wanted to. We still do it, but he's a local guy. And since I've picked him up, I've noticed I've gotten a lot more Omaha listeners, or maybe I just noticed how many from Omaha were listening. So I wonder how much the local effect has, you know, if there's a community effect in podcasting, Dave. I don't know. In your area, do you find yourself, because you go to the Cleveland Podcasters group, do you find you get some followers or more followers that are local?
You know, I have to look. I've never really checked my stats. I know two of the Cleveland Podcasters are here, which is kind of cool. So it's going to be cool to hang out with them a bit. But I always assume when I go into my stats and I see, you know, Northeast Ohio, I'm like, that's just me listening to me. So I don't know. It'd be nice if you could block. I know some things let you block your own IP. So you don't, you know, if you're one of those persons that's always going back to your own website, your stats go up.
Yeah, we've got another caller. Let me bring this in. So
awesome.
Ending in 1111. This must be Skype or something. You're on with Dave, Jim,
excellent,
and Mike. What's your name and your website and your question?
Andy Sokolovich from UnleashedStrengths.com. And, yes, I am calling in via Skype just to kind of answer a little bit about Mike Weaver's question via Facebook ads.
Yeah,
oh, cool.
You've had some experience with ad stuff. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, so Facebook ads, I think, the best bang for your buck. But the thing is you got to get really narrowed down on that keyword and that particular niche. And what I've done is just go to Google AdWords and I run a keyword search. And the same keywords that show up that are in the highly searched block, I copy those and I kind of pepper those in when I'm developing my Facebook campaigns. And I've had the most success that way. Again, it's not, you got to kind of weigh the pros and cons. Like Dave said, are you willing to pay a quarter to get that one, maybe a one listener, maybe no listeners. But one of the things that works really well for me on social media, specifically Facebook, is something I learned from my mom, believe it or not. So she is on Facebook, but she just creeps around to find out who's pregnant and who's getting married. She never gets involved in the conversation, but she always gets these little nuggets of information from these conversation threads. And what I started doing is actually joining groups that were specific to my niche. And I go in there and I just kind of take part in the conversation. When anybody has a question that I feel my podcast or a specific episode can answer, I just drag and drop that in there. And that's kind of a little bit of your tutelage as well, Jim. But I find that has been made the biggest impact in growing my listenership is just getting involved in those conversations in those Facebook groups.
It does a couple things when you do that. Number one, like you said, you see the questions and also you get the right verbiage, because you may be thinking, you know, I don't know how to increase my download numbers. Well, maybe your audience is looking for how to grow my audience. They're both the same thing. It's just different wording. So you'll get a better hit if you use the right verbiage. So
that's the marketing trick, that everybody needs to do. You know, I mean, in every instance, it's, you know, picking the keyword.
Yeah. And then there are tools for that. Right. I know Pat Flynn likes Longtail Pro. That's another classic Dave story. I have the software installed. I think I've used it twice. You know, it's like if you don't use it, it doesn't really do you a whole lot. So. Well,
it takes a ton of work. I mean, this is one of the things you don't realize as you start digging into this. It's like using, you know, we talked about Crowdfire here just a second ago. You start getting into that, and I mean, I've lost myself. It's been 2 a.m, and I'm up clicking, you know, I'm adding people to my Twitter, you know, and stuff like that. And you're like, oh, man, I got to get to bed. None of this stuff, I think the genuine stuff is set it and forget it. I mean, I think you kind of have to maintain it and work it and build the relationships like Andy's saying. You can't just join groups and then spam the crap out of them. You got to go in there and generate some genuine relationships.
Yeah, Go ahead.
I said you recommended a book, and I cannot remember what podcast it was on. I think you were a guest on there, but the book Fizz, F-I-Z-Z. Yeah. That was an amazing read. I got it. As soon as you mentioned it, I downloaded it to my Kindle, and I read that. And that really talks about kind of leveraging the powers of influencers within your organization or your specific niche, not so much as finding that person to be a guest on your podcast, but at least fostering some kind of relationship with that individual so that they can get to learn a little bit more about you, what you're doing on your podcast, and help you build off of their established social group. And I think that's a huge part of growing your podcast as well.
Well, you said a key word there, establish a relationship. I got to figure out how to say this. I've heard of people at the end of their interview will ask, hey, do you know of anybody else that would be a good interview? That's not a bad strategy because birds of a feather flock together. But when you get that name, you should go over and see who this person is and make sure they're a good fit and maybe know who they are so that their first question is, so tell me a little bit about yourself. From what I've heard, that's always an interesting way to start an interview. Because the person will feel like you have no idea who they are, and it's interesting. But I was just, again, there's no relationship there. So it's to me, if when you find a guest and things like that, you should kind of know who they are and reach out. And I've had a couple of those this week where I've had people reach out. They say, hey, I'm in your space. You know, I've worked with media. I do audio editing, whatever. We should probably touch base to say, howdy. You know, and to me, that's perfectly fine. We should know each other, and that way, you never know who you're going to bump into. But that is the key. It all comes down to the relationship. I've shared the story before. When I first got into podcasting, I forget this was before Facebook, but it was a forum, and I walked in, and it was something like ex-DJs or something that I was just like, "Oh my gosh, these would be awesome podcasters!" And I just walked in and said, "Hey, everybody, I can help you. Here's my podcast. Listen to my podcast. It's awesome. It's great. Whatever." And got instantly banned because they had no idea who I was. I didn't bring any value. I just walked in and told them to come in and start podcasting. They're like, yeah, we have no idea who you are and you're banned. So they just saw me as spam. So you got to establish that relationship.
Absolutely. And then the School of Podcasting Initiative with Glenn the Geek, that was amazingly influential in myself. And I know Jim and I have kind of talked sidebar about that interview, and we learned a ton of stuff from that one. So good on you.
I don't know. Hey, Jim, what's the number?
The number is 347-850-8007.
Here's the thing, the cool thing. You've probably heard the quote, I can't tell you what pornography is, but I know it when I see it. But with Glenn the Geek, when I heard that guy talk, I knew he was going to be an awesome interview, and he was, and my email and Twitter has said, that was awesome. That's great. The bad news is, what am I going to talk about this week? It really is. I'm really freaking out.
Is that what you're saying?
It's a tough, which is good. I've got the real Brian coming on. I've got a couple things that I've found, but it's funny because there are those times when you put out an episode and you think, man, this is going to just blow up, and you get nothing but crickets. And then there are other times you're like, this was an okay show, and it just goes boom. This one was one where I'm like, no, I knew this one was going to go crazy. And it did. I had a lot of people. I had some guy email me yesterday. He said, I've listened to this 3 times, and I'm still taking more notes.
It's worth listening to again. I mean, I agree with that. I listened to it, and I thought, okay, I got a few things out of it. I'm going to go back and listen again just to hear the nuances, because it did, even for me. I've been doing this a long time, Dave, and he was saying some things, and it reminded me. I'm like, oh, yeah, I need to get back to this, right? I've had all these corporate guests on, and I've really done nothing with them, right? And
yeah.
So it was like, you know what? I need to foster that relationship a little bit. I need to bring them a little bit closer to my podcast. I need to encourage them to support it. And I don't do that support model, but Glenn was basically like, look, you create your own model, and if they want to fit into it, that's fine. But don't bow to the almighty CPM, right? That's kind of. I mean, it was just an amazing article or an amazing interview.
So yeah, the thing about Glenn is he's doing it, and he's not trying to imitate anybody.
Yeah. But
a lot of people go out there, they start their podcast, they say, well, I want to be like this one, or I want to be like that one. And, you got to resist that. I mean, yeah, a lot of shows are going to seem the same, but they're not, you got to put your spin on it. And if you don't want to take CPM ads, don't take CPM ads.
Yeah, he stood up, improvised, and what he did, somebody asked him, what's the pitch? And that's where he was talking about, go to newspapers, go to magazines, go to some place where people are advertising. Gary Vaynerchuk did a thing on YouTube where he called somebody out of the Yellow Pages, because as you might imagine, maybe unless your audience is of an older type nature, I would think Yellow Page ads, number one, are expensive, and number two, are probably not as effective as they used to be. Find those people and say, hey, I have your target audience. And that's the other thing. Glenn knows his audience and has a super niche. If it's about horses, you go talk to Glenn. So yeah, it was one I was really happy that he came on the show. I was happy when we had the conversation, and it's kind of one of those, it's nice when it works.
Good. It was a good one indeed. So Andy, hey, thanks for calling in. Appreciate it.
Hey, thank you guys. See ya.
All right. Take care. All right. We got another caller.
Sorry.
No, go ahead, Mike. I'll hold.
Speaking of the phone book, did you guys listen to, Paul Culligan's show this week?
Yeah. It was a great line. Do you remember the line?
Starting a podcast goal of hitting iTunes new and notable is like launching a business with the goal of getting into the phone book. Oh, people, we can do better.
That's so good. Anyway.
It was a good quote, for sure. Let's take another caller, since this is a call-in show. We on the line 3434, tell us who you are, what your podcast is, and what's your question?
Well, this is Nick Suberling. My podcast is Podcasters Group Therapy. And I want to know, Jim, why you don't go to podcasting conferences. I'm so disappointed when I attend them and you aren't there.
I know. Sorry, man. Actually, so the interview with Glenn the Geek kind of sponsored or kind of spurred something in me, in that for these conferences, I need to spend a little bit more time getting sponsored for them. Because things are just busy for me. I got a lot of things going on at work. I can't always afford to go to every single one of them. I mean, it would be nice if Pittsburgh was closer, Nick.
Right.
Just saying. Or if you guys got a little bit closer, maybe, towards my side of the
Well, next United year State. You can go to Chicago for podcasting.
No,
we?
Definitely got my eyes on Chicago, right? That's an 8-hour drive for me. But No, but it was one of those things for me with the corporate sponsors, especially, I should be asking them to sponsor me for these kinds of things to say, hey, my trip is being sponsored by fill in the blank. And I think those are very viable, very viable ways of doing sponsorships when we think about it. So after interview, Dave, that was my thought. I'm like, okay, I'm going to start my corporate guys that I interview. I'm going to start asking them.
Yeah, when Greg said that, I'm like, I think Jim was already doing this. I think you've gone out to trade shows and stuff. I wasn't sure if you had taken it, into that area, but I was like, I know you've done that.
I do it on the tech side. Like, I do Microsoft, a lot of Microsoft stuff, and I've interviewed at tech conferences, but these aren't podcasting conferences. These are .NET conferences or Java conferences or BI or whatever. That's kind of where, from a corporate standpoint, those are a lot of the conferences that I go to. It just hasn't lined up really well for me the last couple conferences to make. Not a big fan of Vegas, so NAB is a tough one because I just don't like Vegas. And so, but anyways, Nick, I'm gonna make one. Trust me, I'll be there.
Awesome, I'm looking forward to it. And I just want everybody to know that Dave's dedication to this show is impeccable. He just missed the greatest single podcasting session I've ever seen. Here at podcast. I'm just kidding. I was literally sitting right next to him, so I don't know what
podcasting
we're
about. Facebook.
Gotta love his dedication.
Yeah.
How to have your podcast on fire.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, Nick. Thanks for calling in, man.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I guess I should say, can I have a little baby power rant? I'm not ready to wing it, or fling it, or launch it or rock. Well, I might rock it with Brian. If somebody brings, I felt really bad. I was on somebody's show, right? Very nice. It's an opportunity to grow my audience. And the person asked me if I was ready to blank, fill in one, if I was ready to, squeeze it. So insert verb here, which to me, what would you think, Jim, if you heard that?
It wouldn't bother me as much, but it is one of those copy. We talked about that before. Mike was just mentioning it's a copy, right? Do your own, come up with your own thing.
Yeah.
Right?
I think that was me. I just wanted to go, oh, come on. You can do better than that.
Well, all three of us podcast about podcasting in some form or fashion. Right. And yet we all three, I mean, Mike, I listen to the podcast help desk. And you have your own style. You're being you. You're not trying to do Dave. You've got your own. I've got my own. Ray has his. Daniel has his. You can just start naming those off. Okay, just resist the urge to copy. You're unique. You've got your own set of strengths. You're good at things that other people aren't. Find what those are and do them.
Yeah.
My first podcast episode was trying to be Adam Curry.
That's always fun.
It didn't work.
Yeah, because you're not Adam Curry.
Yeah. I think we all at the beginning, I remember I was always amazed that Adam was broadcasting at 64 mono, and so was I, but his sounded awesome, and mine did not. It was just a giant ball of hiss, and that's where I learned to record in wave, stay in wave, and then when you're done – then convert it to an MP3 because I was recording an MP3, editing an MP3, and every time I didn't realize, again, this is back in 2005, but I was cutting a little off the top and a little off the bottom. So every time I did that, my audio quality got a little worse and a little worse and a little worse. So it was always fun.
Dave, we had a request last week for us to cover blab.im. And this is like all of a sudden come on in the last two or three weeks. Have you heard about this, blab.im?
I've heard about it. It's on my list. Did you get a chance to play with it? Because I did not, unfortunately.
I did. Mike, have you messed with Blab?
No, I'm just bringing it up now.
So we won't be able to cover it, but something as a community you might want to look at. It's basically four-person chat that's open to the public and not recorded, but they're for conversations. And so when you log in, you can start this Blab, B-L-A-B. What they call it. And then it's just, you can make it open and I think you can invite people. I'm a little scared, to be honest with you, of doing open to the public chats. That makes me really uncomfortable when I just open it up to the world. Cause you're going to get the Baba Booey in there. Right. That's going to happen. Right, Dave. And so I just don't mess with it. So I've been a little timid on doing it. I think you can invite people, though, specific people into it. And so on the screen, it's literally four windows, one, two, Spritty Bunch style, you know, one, two, three, four. And it's just a hangout and people talking.
Yeah.
And then, well, it's like Google Hangouts, except for instead of having all the blocks at the bottom, they're all on the screen.
Yeah. So it's just chat. It's not video. It's
video. No, it's definitely video. So it's okay. Four video windows. And like, so I went in there the other day and had a live blab going on, and there were three boxes, and then there was the box in the bottom right hand corner said plus join. And I'm like, seriously, I could just join the conversation and jump right in. And I think the answer is yes. So it's an interesting, you know.
Yeah. We had a person for a while, that used to come to ask the podcast coach that was always somewhat negative. It seems like everything we said in the on the show, it was always some sort of wah, 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 wah kind of response to it. You know, that's the fun of being, when you do have it open, you never know what you're going to get. And, you know, that always makes things fun. Wow. And Mike has a twin.
Well, he must have dropped there.
Yeah. Dropped out and I'm back.
You're back. Mike, how do you feel about just jumping on and allowing open conversation in a hangout?
I've done it a couple of times, and inevitably you'll get somebody in there eventually that has absolutely zero clue what you might be talking about, and it's
a little horribly uncomfortable.
Yeah, I think you just have to realize, especially if you're doing a live show while you're doing that, you just have to know that that's always a possibility. Recognize when it happens, nip it in the bud, move on, and you know, that's just a way to, it's just part of the nature of the biz, I think, if you're doing something live, things like that. I know I am enjoying, we talked last week about talk.io. I've been
T-O.
Playing
talk,
with that.
Talk.to.
To, thank you. And because I have been, it's funny, if you want to make somebody leave your website, all you have to do is ask them to join a chat, and it's always interesting.
Yeah, I haven't gone the other way with it. I've waited for folks to contact me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm on the dashboard right now for it. And, of course, because I'm hosting, you know, Ask the Podcast Coach this morning, the left side column that shows everybody that's on your site is just full. Right. Yeah. And so I've never thought about using it as a tool to reach out to people. I think that's a little creepy. But certainly, like, so if you're on my site right now, if you look at the bottom left-hand or the bottom right-hand corner, there's a little green, I think it's green on the live page that says questions, ask Jim, something like that. I change it around. I've been messing with different text to see what I get. So if you click on that, it's going to ring into me and saying, hey, you've got somebody who wants to have a conversation with you.
Right.
And I would click join chat. That's a private chat between me and you at that point if you're doing that. Really handy, like help desk, right? I mean, that's when we think about this. Mike, you're in the help space. Do you guys have, at Blueberry, do you have this kind of functionality where you can create these one-on-one chats?
Not yet. That may be coming in the future, but the volume is such that we're able to handle it, you know, the way we've been doing it with either phone calls or emails.
You actually call people?
Once in a while.
Yeah, depending, I guess, on the, because sometimes it's, I can type seven paragraphs.
It's not generally the free tech support.
Right.
But, you know, there are some things that, you know, instead of sending 50 emails back and forth, they'll pick up the phone and say, hey, you know, let's get this solved.
So much easier, to be honest. Isn't that, like, you're going back and forth and there's a misunderstandings, and I'm like, hey, can I just, today, I just go, can I just video you? Can we do this? Can I call, at a minimum, call you? And I had a gal I was doing that with. She was in the UK this week. And I just said, let's just call.
Yeah.
And it, boom, we were in. We got the conversation done in 10 minutes, and it was over with. So I think sometimes you just got to pick up the phone or get it, you know, get it live and just get it taken care of.
Yeah, I usually leave a GoToMeeting session open and invite people in if need be. You know, when I'm actually at the desk, a lot of times I'm doing other things. So.
Right.
Yeah, because that's it. Definitely, you know, just typing it all, and especially if you're in an area where you can have them share their screen, that speeds up things a whole lot. So it's always fun because there's so many things. In some cases, I know, Mike, you just did a show about getting rid of Hiss, and there's so many pieces in that puzzle.
Oh, yeah, that was just brushing the surface.
Yeah, exactly. So when you get them live, that always helps. And Jim, you talked about it too. I think we talked about last week about how, you know, when you actually reach out and talk to someone, that makes a huge impression. So if it's something you can do, by all means. And that's if you're worried about calling somebody with your phone number, I have a Google Voice number, so I just go to the Google app and dial from there. And that way, if it turns out to be some crazy person, which of course it never is, you know, I can just block them in the Google Voice and they can't call me anymore.
I use Skype out.
Yeah.
I made the mistake of calling somebody on my cell phone, and I 3 years later, I still get phone calls every time he has a hiccup with his podcast.
Don't you hate that? That's that implied warranty idea where it's like, look, it's not good for 3 years from now. I mean, you know, that's the hard part. I think in Dave, in this case, the person who contacted me was the CEO of the company, and I just was like, wow, they're listening.
Yeah.
They were, first of all, how did they figure out we were talking about this on, and you, it had been show notes, you know, the show notes that kind of triggered them to it. But yeah, I think that's that personal touch is really important, and in especially with the listeners that are the most avid. That's a hard part though, because some of those really avid listeners, it's a double-edged sword. They're avid a listener because they have a little, sometimes they have addictive personalities.
Yeah,
you know, and it's tough. So you gotta channel that and use it in your favor. And sometimes the most passionate ones are the ones that turn the fastest too. So you've got a really positive, Dave, you probably had this happen to you, where you have a really positive listener, and then you say one thing wrong, and it's like you became Satan the next day, right? And it's just crazy.
Well, and at times, depending, especially with like tech support, you kind of have to set some boundaries. You know, it's like, you know, I believe I should check and see. I believe on the School of Podcasting, it should be posted that pretty much, you know, 8 to 5. If I check my email after that and answer you, it's icing on the cake. But you don't get 24/7 tech support, and it's usually you get an answer within 24 hours. A lot of times, it's a lot less than that. But you know, it's again, somebody will call the number, and it's, you know, they forget they're in Germany, and it's 4 a.m. You're like, oh, hold on a second there, buddy. That's not going to work. So
we have people spread across all the time zones, so you know, at least in the U.S. So we've got a, you know, pretty much coverage from Hawaii to, you know, you know, and that works out, you know, as far as getting emails. But you'll be surprised. You're like, I'll go into my work email and on a Sunday, which I normally don't have to do, but I'll go in there and, oh, well, I'll answer this one, answer that one, and you would be surprised. Wow, you can answer on Sunday. Wow.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, what would you say are like some of the top things you guys get? Like, what's the biggest support pain, I guess, at this point?
Well, it used to be Feedburner. We won't beat that horse anymore. Now it's iTunes listings. I only have 20 episodes. That's the big one right now. You know, of course, you got to explain to them that's an iTunes issue, blah, 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 you know.
Right.
About it.
That's always fun.
Yeah, and then people that have these incredibly complicated WordPress setups. And they're adding podcasts to an existing setup. I worked with a person that had an existing podcast, or not an existing podcast, an existing WordPress site, wanted to add podcasting, and they set up a consult call. We shared screens on GoToMeeting. I looked at that, and they had 27 post types in there. And, you know, and a post type is, you know, it's just like posts, pages, and then 27 more.
Wow.
Types. And it was just the most confusing website I'd ever seen. And, you know, and that sometimes doesn't fly with, you know, RSS, you know, the plugins and the themes and the, you know, having these, you know, having all these post types, it complicates things.
I know you had a great suggestion once of, you know, you want to send people to your site, but you said install WordPress in like a subdirectory. So it's like podcast.yourwebsite.com.
Right.
Throw PowerPress in there, and that's it. You know what I mean? Keep it nice and simple.
Yeah, and I've done that for a couple people where, you know, look, your site's complicated. It's really cool, but podcasting isn't going to work on that. Let's install another instance of WordPress on the same server in a, you know, a subdomain or just a directory.
Yeah.
And then embed embed the player where you want it on your main WordPress. Use the other one as just the back end to run your feed.
Yeah.
You know, I actually did that with my live page. So we had gone, you know, I'd gone SSL for everything on my site, and that broke the Chatwing player. It didn't break it. I just didn't want to pay the $10 a month for Chatwing SSL encryption. I didn't think it was that important. So I just created a subdomain live.theaverageguy.tv. And so actually for everybody that's on the live page now, you'll see it's not secure. It's just HTTP. But it's a subdomain off a completely separate instance of WordPress, but then I branded it with the same theme. I made it look the same. And so when you're clicking in between them, you have no idea that you're, for the most part, that you're moving between domains to get it done. That is a way, Mike. That's a great way of doing it. And if you brand it right, you don't have to worry about your users even knowing, you know, what's going on. Dave, what's going on over there?
I'm using his iPad. This
No, I looked up and my battery's getting low. And I'm like, oh, you know what?
Well, it sounded like you were pulling off duct tape.
Yeah, no, that's my lifesavers. So I grabbed my power cable because I'm sitting right here in front of an outlet. I'm like, oh, I'll just plug this in. We'll be good to go. And if I was smart, I would have muted myself.
No, it's okay. So Mike, yes, that's a great way. I don't think enough podcasters take advantage of that advice, which is if you have an existing blog and it's kind of complicated in the setup, you can, in fact, that may be a best practice in some ways, is to put your podcast on its own. You know, go to podcast.yoursite.com and create that subdomain, create that and keep it a clean RSS feed for folks, and then blend that together with another. If you want to get crazy on the other blog site, you can do that, add all those plugins, all that other stuff to make it work. But would that work, Mike? Am I crazy in thinking
That's what I've done for a couple of people, and it works out great. They submit the feed from the secondary WordPress to all the directories and iTunes and all that, and they post there. Then they, you know, cut and paste the embed code onto their main site. And they don't even publicize the fact that it's coming from this secondary site. And it just works.
Yeah, there's a little tech involved in that. Let's be clear. You've got to set up a subdomain and reinstall WordPress and then spend time getting the theme customized to make it look like your other one. There's a plugin called, I can't remember the name, but it's that one that allows you to redirect pages to other pages. Maybe it's just called Link Redirect or something like that. Anyways, if you're going to do this methodology, really helpful plugin to have, and it allows you to set cross-links basically to make sure if I land on this page. So if you go to theaverageguy.tv/live, which a lot of you did today, that's actually that redirect to go to the live.theaverageguy.tv. And that's how that makes it work. So it lands on one domain, and then it's pushed over to another. So that's really loud when you do that, Dave.
When I do that?
When you slide past your microphone like that, we hear that.
Okay, I won't do that anymore. any plugins that as soon as you hear them, you're like, oh, here we go?
Great question.
Wish list member. That's a membership site. And it does work with PowerPress, but you have to add a define to the WordPress config file, and that's beyond a lot of people initially until we explain how simple that is. But that one's a doozy. Yoast used to be, and periodically when they update something, it breaks whatever they fixed before, but for the most part, Yoast is working.
Yeah, because that's a popular one.
Yeah,
that's all over the place.
You know, Angelo works with plugin developers to either tell them what to do or to ask them what he should do or whatever. So you know, we always try to play nice with all the popular plugins.
Sure, I'm always interested because I know it just seems I was looking at a page. It was like here are the top five. Like tools for podcasters, and number two was PodPress, which I found out, I looked for it, I could not find it in the WordPress directory anymore.
Yeah, they've been gone probably a year.
Yeah, and then number four was SoundCloud, and there's a blog post there that says why you need a podcast consultant, And because I actually spent, I think it was last Saturday, I got sucked into a total, I was like completely just obsessed on SoundCloud. I just kept finding article after article after article. And the one said that they stated, they posted their like earnings from like the previous year, and they lost $29 million last year. And I was like, holy cow. And then they went into, I forget how many, it was something like 120 minutes of audio every hour or every minute or something, a ridiculous amount of audio is being uploaded there, which of course isn't free. But on the other hand, I just found somebody in the School of Podcasting's Facebook group. A lot of DJs now are really, really upset, and they're dumping it because they're trying to play nice with the major record labels. And so they're upping their – they're making sure you're not posting stuff you're not supposed to, that you don't have rights to. Well, some of these DJs are – you know, they've done remixes or whatever that. Well, that it doesn't matter. It's still illegal. So they're smacking the hands of the DJs, who are the guys who really are getting – you know, they're really working that SoundCloud system. Well, now you're making, you know, your top customers upset. So it's like the great bailout of 2005. I forget what the title of the subject line was, but yeah, things are.
I heard with some podcasters that are using royalty free music or PodSafe music that they know they can use.
Yeah,
SoundCloud will tag it as copyrighted and throw them off anyway.
Nice.
Let's do one more topic before we go as we kind of get ready to wrap this up. Mike, you had put Adore.fm, which I had not heard of before, in there. Dave, have you heard of Adore.fm?
It is, I believe, Rob Greenlee is the man behind it. It's on Spreaker. Other than that, I have no clue.
Mike?
Yeah, it's all I know about it right now, too. But it's basically Spreaker's podcast network. And it's not, you know, it's not open to everybody, or at least it doesn't seem to be. It looks like right now they have 8 shows on there.
Yeah, curated, I think, is the key term in this, right? That they're being very careful about what they're letting in and what they're not, and very careful at this point if it's just 8 shows, right?
Yeah, at least that's what I see there. But like I said, I just found that about an hour before I texted it to you.
No, interesting. The other one I've heard recently that's popped up from another podcaster in my group is Zencast.fm. That is one I had not heard of before. That is very, it looks a lot like podcasts.com. You know, you can import your feed in. They kind of have, they have some unlimited plans. I mean, it looks and feels a lot like that. But Zencast, Dave, have you looked at Zencast? Have you seen it?
What was the Zen thing we were playing with that's a PodClear kind of ripoff? Is that not it?
Could be.
Yeah, it looks like a fairly generic website, and there's no pricing on here unless you sign up for an account.
Well, I interviewed in because I'm not at my desk right now. I can't. And I'll probably play it in the next episode. I interviewed a company, PodWallet.com, and what this is, it's Blueberry with a different name. It's two guys because I kind of contacted them. I'm like, your contact page has no information. I have no idea where you are. I'm kind of like, you know, what's the deal? And I talked to Bonnie, and she said, well, what it is, it's two guys who are salesmen who have been doing sales and radio. And I thought this was great to hear. The radio people are going, yeah, do you have any contacts with podcasting? We'd like to advertise on podcasts. And I was like, that's good to hear. So these guys are making this company because they've got people asking for that. And so if you go to podwallet.com, you can go over now. Here's the funny thing. I thought this was hilarious. You can say, hey, I want to put in one 30-second ad, and I have 300 downloads, and it will tell you this insane large number.
Yeah.
Please note that is the annual income, not the monthly, not the weekly. And it's they even say it's estimated. So it's somewhere, when I did the math, somewhere between $7 and $18. It's CPM again, and CPM is – not the best for most podcasters, but they want to do basically what Todd's been doing for 10 years, which is take a bunch of small podcasters and sell against multiple shows that have the same topic. So I submitted like Weekly Web Tools, which doesn't have a huge audience. It's like 300. And the Logic Weight Loss gets somewhere between 1,000 and 2,000, depending on what I'm talking. So they got really excited when I started saying thousands. So that's what they're going to do. So I'm like, well, if you want to sign up, you know, you never know what's going to happen. But they're brand new. They're like less than a couple months old, I think, at this point.
Yeah, I wonder if they're going to do package spots or if they're going to do host red or some combination.
Yeah, when I talked to Bonnie, she seemed really nice, and she was kind of like, depending on how specific you want to get, we might have to have you talk to one of the actual guys. So I think they're just setting it up at this point, and it's hot off the presses, and so something to watch to see. You know, it won't be the first, probably won't be the last, as things continue to heat up here.
You get rich selling whatever on your podcast.
Yeah, so when I heard it was CPM, I was like, because I asked her, I said, is this going to be flat rate? And she's like, oh, no, this will be per downloads. And that's when I went, okay. So, again, you can, you know, it's better than a poke in the eye. But, you know, when I get, you know, $15 per CPM and at the end of the month I'm up to $800, you know, it's like I almost made $15 for the whole month. So, you know, that'll almost pay for your hosting and you know, but it's like, okay. And that's where you have to ask yourself, was talking for 30 seconds about maybe a product that you don't really know and don't really care about, you know, that's where you have your integrity and then your audience. And, you know, is losing your integrity worth, you know, $13? So we'll see.
CPM has its place. That's for sure.
Yeah,
As we start wrapping this up here, I'm going to start the music. It's going to be too loud. So I'm going to turn that down as we wrap this up. But why don't you take us out of here?
Sure. Well, first of all, Mr. Mike Dell, tell everybody where we can find you at.
Over at podcasthelpdesk.com or if you have a blueberry problem, over at blueberry.com.
There you go. And you're not going to throw in a promo code?
Use yours.
All right. If you're going to be signing up over at Blueberry, use the coupon code SOPFREE. Thank you, Mr. Mike. I appreciate that. Or what was your other one? BT, it was, do you remember what your code was? Because you were going to write a book. No BS, yeah. How is that book coming, by the way?
It's still right there in the hard drive where it's been for a while.
Excellent. And Jim, where can everybody find you?
Yeah, everything I've got is out at theaverageguy.tv. Mike, thanks for saying yes this morning when we asked you reach out to you to join me here this morning. We're going to get Dave in here, so thanks for saying yes. Yeah. Appreciate it.
And Jim, thanks for manning the controls. And you can find me at schoolofpodcasting.com. Use the coupon code ASK20 and save when you sign up at the schoolofpodcasting.com.
All right. Well, with that, we got a few more seconds of music, so we'll let that play out. Everyone stay around. Mike, can you stay around for some post-show stuff?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You okay? You're looking tired, man.
Dave, are you good for post-show or do you got to blow it?
We'll stick around for a little bit.
All right. Well, hang tight. We'll be in the post-show here in just a minute. We'll see you. And there's Nick Suberling, right, jumping in on the show. Join us every Saturday morning. 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern at askthepodcastcoach.com or when Dave's out, theaverageguy.tv. We'll see you back here next Saturday. Thanks for coming out.